Muito bem, muito boa tarde. Dou as boas-vindas à Euromil, delegação composta pelo Presidente da Direção, Sr. Emanuel Jacob, António Lima Coelho, membro da Direção, João Mata, Carlos Rodrigues Marques e Paulo Amaral. Pelo aquilo que percebemos, o Sr. Presidente vai falar em inglês. Algum dos seus deputados vê algum inconveniente? Sr. Deputados, senão temos que arranjar aqui uma forma de... É? Muito bem. Então, passo de imediato a palavra. Disponho de 10 minutos à apresentação. Os seus deputados veem conveniente que o Sr. Presidente fale em inglês ou desejam que seja traduzido em simultâneo? Os seus deputados, é? Vamos falar então em inglês, 10 minutos, e depois passarei a palavra aos grupos parlamentares. Ok? Inglês. Okay. 10 minutos. Ok?
Thank you very much and thank you for having me here. I'm really apologizing that I cannot speak in Portuguese. I would like to, but with an organization, with 40 organizations, 22 European countries, it's a little bit difficult to manage. My colleague, António Lima Coelho, who is also a board member of Euromil, can always step in if there is any problem that is needed, because we worked on this situation together. What I would like to present you very briefly is the outcome of a collective complaint that Euromil submitted towards Portugal, because we were of the opinion that in this specific case, two articles of the Social Charter instrument of the Council of Europe, to which Portugal adhered, of course, that Portugal is not really following as it should, two articles, and we talk about Article 5 and Article 6. Now, in a nutshell, we are not going too deep in that, because I know your time is limited today also. What is Article 5 and Article 6 about? Article 5 is in headlines about the right for everybody, not only the military, every citizen, in the country that joined the Social Charter. Article 5 gives the right to everybody to organize and to join representative associations, also trade unions. And then you have in Article 6, you have four subdivisions. The first one says that countries must put in place instruments to negotiate between these organizations and the representative of the employer, in our case, as military, the state, or the Minister of Defense. It depends how it's organized in the country. Article 6, paragraph 2 says that there should be a way for what they call collective bargaining, so meaning that you can make binding agreements between these two parties. Article 6.3 says that there must be a way on how you can react in case such negotiations and collective bargaining are not working. And Article 6.4, that's the highest level, says that if all that is not working, workers in general should have the right to go for a strike. Now, to be very fair, Article 6.4 is an article that we always use because it's a package. It's not what we are really fighting for, to be very clear. That's not our main topic, because we strongly believe that Article 6.3 is quite clear. There should be instruments to react in case it's needed, and that's why also we did not complain on Article 6.3. So we introduced in 2021 this collective complaint, has been admitted by the Committee Social Rights in January 2022. And at that moment, the whole process starts, meaning that we introduced a complaint, the Portuguese government delivered answers, we answered again on what the Portuguese government has delivered, and then the final word is again for the Portuguese government. So this has been done. I'm not going in detail in all the answers up and down. That's study material. As of today, there is public now the link on the European Committee of Social Rights on that case, because today is really the first day that we can talk about the case in public. Because the 5th of November last year, the outcome of the case has been delivered to the Committee of Ministers. They have 4 months to react if needed. And so today, the 6th of March, is really the first day that it's public. And also now online, you can find all documents public. Now, to go immediately to the important thing, what does the Committee of Social Rights decided in its decision of the merits? And once again, there is no reaction from the Committee of Ministers at this point. They still can react afterwards, but they cannot change the outcome anymore. So, what says the Committee of Social Rights? For what concerns Article 5, the article on the right to join associations, join trade unions. The committee found that Portugal, the restrictions that Portugal submits to professional associations, because you can make the remark, but you have associations. I have my three colleagues here with me, the officer association, the private association, and the NCO association. But this is disproportionate. It goes beyond what the social charter says. And so a blanket ban to form and to join trade unions is a problem. So that's the first violation. On Article 6.1, setting up consultations, talks, instruments, there the committee says no problem because sometimes the colleagues are or called to the parliament or called to the Minister of Defense and can have discussions. But Article 6.2 is again a violation because the organizations existing today don't have the possibility to make what they call collective bargaining, meaning on a level, on the same level as social partners, talking with, in this case, the government or the Minister of Defense or whoever is competent, and then making a collective binding agreement. That doesn't exist, so that's the second violation. And as already said, Article 6.4, the right to strike, which we always take in the packet, there also the committee says there is no violation because, and that's important, because Article 6.3 of the social charter gives you enough instruments. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion is, to bring it in a nutshell, that there is a violation. This means that Portugal will have to look now in which way they will answer on what has been decided. There is no time frame. It's not a judgment where they say that within the month, within the 2 months, it should be dealt with. But there is a control system. Every time again, countries, in this case Portugal, will have to deliver a report to the Committee of Social Rights on how they were dealing with the outcome. And then the Committee of Social Rights, in its yearly report, or says, okay, that's done in a proper way, or again says to the country, look, that's not enough, that's not what has been foreseen, you need to continue. So in a nutshell, Portugal, for what concerns military personnel, will now in the future have to work on how to deal with trade union rights for military personnel. And I can assure you, we don't have time to go in that detail now, but if you want later in a hearing session or whatever, we can give you at least 10 examples in Europe in different ways how this is implemented. So trade union rights for military personnel will not mean that armed forces are not functioning anymore. I can guarantee you it has been used by some countries as an argument. It's not the case. So implementing trade union rights, facilitating collective bargaining mechanisms so that, once again, you can come to collective agreements. On the right to strike, you can find a prohibition in the legislation and really motivate and say, look, right to strike, we don't do that for the military. Almost nowhere in Europe we do that for the military. And the two places where it exists, it has never been used. But Article 6.3, you will find that in the motivation of the Committee on Social Rights, gives you other instruments. Why is another instrument needed? Because if collective bargaining is not working, there must be somewhere a level that can at a certain moment decide, okay, where are we going now? Because from the employer side, there is a blockage, and from the employee side, we block. We need to find a solution, and that's Article 6.3. And so once again, Portugal will, as of now, have to answer on the implementation report every year and say what has been done. Very last sentence. It's not up to me as Euromil to decide now how you continue. And I'm not willing to go out here in 10 minutes or whatever with an idea that's what the Parliament is going to do. It should go now towards a discussion. Everybody takes the time to study the text, to study the arguments. Also, my colleagues from the associations need to do that. And then finally, at a certain moment, try to find out where are we going to in the future. And I think that is the best solution for everybody. And as Euromil, we are always available to support you in that discussion with examples that exist. Not to tell you what to do, but examples what exist in other countries.
Muito
Thank
obrigado.
You very much, sir.
Muito obrigado. Vamos então passar a palavra aos grupos parlamentares. Começo pelo PSD, Sr. Deputado Bruno Vitorino.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. First, I would like to say in behalf of the PSD party, as the biggest party in the coalition, that's now not for long, as we already know from yesterday, not for long still in government, because you will probably have another elections soon, but to thank you for being here and also for your work in Euromil. For me, it would be interesting. It's an old discussion that we are doing in Portugal. It's not something new that if the military association should be or shouldn't be of the militaries, have the right or not to be in trade unions or the right to make strikes and things like that. But I would like just, it's something that you come here to do your job. It's important for us to also to hear for all your opinions, but it's, as I was telling, an old discussion. Till now, the majority of the parties are not agreeing with that idea. We also have in the Constitution, I don't remember the article 276 probably, something like that all the members from the branches of the military, from the armed forces, should not be connected to political parties, should totally be disconnected from. And in Portugal, we have the tradition. I don't know in other countries in Europe how is it working, but in Portugal, the tradition is like the union trades normally have some tendencies related to political parties. So I don't know what's happening. It would be interesting for me to hear a little bit more from you what was happening in those 10 countries that you were saying, that we already have examples in other countries, and the different ways that in that sense that they are working to understand a little bit better the different realities. But in Portugal, nor the Socialist Party nor our party that were being in government for also a few times didn't have that that kind of understanding or going deeper in changing the law and allowing those kind of things. That is not to exclude that the associations should have a little bit more of the participation, especially in the also of the working stuff that you were also talking. I think it's possible to go a little bit deeper in the rights of the association, in the relationship with the government, without having the trade unions. And I think that is the, maybe the first step that we should work on before going to further steps. That's just my opinion, and, but I would be glad to hear a little bit more from you if you have still time about the reality in the other countries. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Deputado. Dou agora a palavra ao Partido Socialista, Sra. Deputada Mariana Vieira da Silva. Faça favor, Sr. Deputado.
Muito obrigada, Sr. Presidente. Thank you very much for your presence here. And I would like to thank Euromil for this presentation. Every country has its history and they have reasons for choosing some paths, but of course they can always change them. In Portugal, like PSD said, this is not a new discussion. What I think it's useful now, because this is a decision, the response is a decision from the government itself, but we will eventually be involved in the process. What I think it's more useful now is to know what different practices do you find across the European Union countries, but also across NATO countries that have been used to respond to similar issues of the Social Rights Council. We know the importance in Portugal, the importance of collective bargaining, of having strong unions or representative associations of the workers. Portugal is a country that values social issues and also collective bargaining, but we have our own history and we made some choices in the constitution and also in the main laws that organize national defense. Besides knowing those different practices and being able to learn from your experience those different practices, I think it will also be useful to hear you about a problem that almost every country now has, the attractiveness and the recruitment practices and also the retention practices that you find in several European and NATO countries that could be an inspiration to our country. And of course, I would like again to thank you for being here and sharing that experience with us. Thank you.
Obrigado, Sr. Deputado. Tem agora a palavra o Partido Chega, Sr. Deputado Nuno Simões Melo. Faça favor, Sr. Deputado.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I welcome you to Portugal, this is the first line. I welcome you to Portugal. And in Portugal, we have our laws, we have our constitution, and our constitution is very clear about the rights and the duties of the military. Therefore, there are, even if the military can have the right to associate, all the associations represent their members, and not all the military of those classes, I would say. Excuse me my bad English, but that is what I can do. I hope you understand it. Secondly, and talking about all the job that you are doing, I can tell you that, and I can say you that we have always to thank for what you are doing, because you are doing what you think is the correct and the fair. Even though I think that we must be much more concerned about the war that we are facing in Europe eventually, and not talking about collective bargaining or strikes or whatever. That being said, sir, I would like very much to read the text. I don't have any answers because only after the test that you talk about, we can have a very an opinion that can be deeper on the subject. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Deputado. Devolvo então a palavra à Euromil na pessoa do Sr. Presidente, Emanuel Jacob. Muito obrigado.
I will try to bring them a bit together to win time. First, for what the last remark on the fact that we should be concerned about quite some things for the moment. That's also what is happening, of course. It's purely coincidence that we are here today on the 6th of March and that our head of governments and are today in Brussels discussing completely other things. I can assure you that also we, as representatives from military associations and trade unions, are concerned on that. Because we may not forget at the end of the day that it are our people that will be used in case of a conflict, that it are our comrades and colleagues from Ukraine that are fighting and dying today. We were, since 2014, because that's the start of the conflict in Ukraine, not 2022, are we in close contact and working together with the Ukrainian colleagues. I've been there myself a few times with them, and not just for meetings, but really to go on the field and to talk with people. So there, at that point, absolutely, I agree with you. This is our main issue today. But as I said yesterday in another discussion I had, unfortunately, the world continues and things go on. And we need to have, and I'm really glad that we still have that opportunity, that we also can continue to do our normal work, what we did before, but our future and how we continue with security, defense, our armed forces, this is the high point on the agenda today. That must be very clear. The discussion on the Constitution and what military are allowed to do or not in Portugal, it's not only a discussion in Portugal, to be very frank with that, because we may not forget that from the start and going back in time, that was always one of the points that has been raised in countries, and what was or in constitutions or in legislations, it's the neutrality of armed forces, political neutrality of armed forces. And we fully respect that. We really believe that it should be. Armed forces should be neutral. There should be a democratic control on armed forces. Members of parliament can also be via ombuds institutions and other ones, but there must be a democratic control on the armed forces. But there is one serious difference, and that's political neutrality of the armed forces and of the individual. Now, we fully agree that when you serve in armed forces, you cannot, as a member of armed forces and in uniform, or in name of armed forces, go out and suddenly spread political messages. It doesn't work, and not only for the military. There are other professions that have the same problem. In some countries, that are the judges. In other countries, it can be people in public administration in certain functions. Absolutely, we go for that, and we understand that. But that's also what Committee of Social Rights, but also the OSCE, for example, what is used there as argument, we need to find the right balance and not only a simple ban. Simply say, because, yeah, bad luck, that's why you are in the military. Already in 1986, there was a resolution, of the Council of Europe Committee of Ministers that said social rights don't stop at barricades. Meaning, it's not because you are working in uniform that suddenly all your rights are gone. And nobody steps in the military with the idea, but as of tomorrow, I just am an employee in the military and I'm a citizen like always. No, this is not the case. That's why, since 1972 that we founded Euromil, we have this principle of the citizen in uniform. We are not saying that we are people working in uniform, but we want all the rights like any other citizens. No, that's what we know. That's why we are in the military. But we also have to respect what has been done by the military. Nobody calls somebody else suddenly to leave his family and go 4 months on a mission, or go perhaps in the future into war situations, and what we also had in the past. That's why this military is so specific. And that's also, to go on the trade union discussion, that we accept in discussions that we go for specific situations. We are not with this, not with other recommendations. We are saying you should treat the military like everybody else at any point. We have countries, but I cannot go to all the examples in Europe now. I think you will stop me then and say that time is up. But we have countries where military can be a member of what I always call, even my trade union colleagues don't like it when I say it, traditional trade union world. And in some countries, not in all, but in most of them, I agree with you, trade unions have a specific political way they follow. I don't say that they are everywhere linked to the parties, but in some countries they are closer than in other ones. To take the example from my country, I am a Belgian. In the Social Democrat, in the Socialist Party, there is a seat for somebody from the trade union movement in the office of the... In other countries, it's not the case, and the connection is not so far. If I look today again to my countries, the trade unions have a huge conflict with the new government, even if they are linked with each other. So it's not always the case. But what do we have in the military? We have countries where the military can join really the trade union confederations. We have countries where not the individual, but the associations that we had before, they transformed to unions, join under conditions, trade union federations. But we also have places where you have trade union organizations for the military that are not linked to trade union confederations and that are independent trade union organizations. Once again, but don't use always my country as an example. I use it now. In my country, you have, for the military, they can join the trade unions for the public servants, and there is a certain political link, Christian Democrat, Social Democrat, and Liberal. I come from a trade union. I was one of the founders of that trade union, which is a military trade union. We did not have a link to the three other federations, but we had exactly the same rights and working conditions as the three trade unions, and that's important. And that should be the starting point of the discussion. Trying to find parliament, government, in collaboration with the current associations towards their future, how can you find now the best way to answer on this? And perhaps in steps, as you say. Perhaps in steps. The world didn't change in 10 days. It's only recently that the world is changing in 1 month time, but that's another discussion. It can be in steps. You can first, and that's even what the Committee Social Rights said in an Italian case, CGL versus Italy. There, the committee said, work in three steps. First, you're going to check with social partners, then you make an agreement, and then based on that agreement, you see where you can go towards the future. That's one example. My last example, Ireland. We had exactly the same case for Ireland with an outcome in 2018. Exactly the same decision as today. Article 5, Article 6, 2, violation. It took a while before Ireland took a decision on how to deal with it. And today, the two military associations, they only have two, they don't have three like here, they had only two. These associations became now a member of the trade union confederation in Ireland, but under conditions. For example, they cannot join strikes, they cannot make political statements and join them from the Trade Union Confederation, but the collective bargaining is done in the package of the Confederation, and they are a kind of adherent member to the Trade Union Confederation. So there is a possibility to find, but it asks for discussion and will.
Obrigado, ainda temos deputado. Sr. Deputado António Filipe, deseja tomar a palavra?
Podemos em inglês, português?
Inglês.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I want to, name of the parliamentary group of Communist Party, I want to express our best regards to the Romil, extensive to the Portuguese representatives of military association, who have a very hold and significant cooperation with the Parliament, with the National Defense Committee, and I want to give the welcome, a warm welcome to Jaramillo in this Parliament. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Deputado. Passa a palavra Lima Coelho. Passa, por favor.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a quick note. It is a quick note, so my president will understand me. He was telling me to speak in Portuguese, but I want him to understand what I'm going to say.
You will tell me this evening.
It's very important to say that for 25 years working together with Euromil, I have learned a lot, and I understand that there are differences all over Europe. And it's not because some countries have really trade unions that their military don't perform as well as expected. It's true that our friends from Denmark, from Sweden, and other countries, when they go to the field, they do everything that they are supposed to do, and they are aware of that. On the other hand, yes, we are aware that we represent our members. Yes, but when we achieve goals, those goals are applied to all military in general, not only for the members. So we are quite aware what is our position and what we want as citizens in uniform to better serve our countries. We don't want, of course, it's nothing ever discussed among us, the strike. The strike is the ghost that is used to avoid, to recognize the rights that we are fighting for. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you.
Muito obrigado. Mais algum dos seus deputados deseja mais a palavra? Sr. Deputado Nuno Simões Melo.
Just a very, very quick and close remark. Just for us, Chega Party, we look to the military and they are not citizens in uniforms. They are soldiers, sailors, airmen. They are warriors. That is maybe the big difference between us and the Euromil. But even though, thank you very much for your work. Thank you.
Muito bem. Resta-me agradecer a presença da Euromil na pessoa do seu presidente, Emmanuel Jacob. Diga. Muito bem. Sim, senhor. Será entregue aqui aos grupos parlamentares. Mais uma vez, muito obrigado pela vossa presença na Comissão de Defesa Nacional e uma continuação de uma boa tarde. Muito obrigado.